Over the course of four decades, Insight for Living has touched millions of lives. Since its first broadcast in July 1979, the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll has been a welcome voice in homes, cars, mobile devices, desktop computers, wherever listeners want to engage with the Bible. Well, as we approach this 40-year milestone, we thought you'd enjoy hearing Chuck respond to some of the most common questions we've received from our listening family on how to apply the truth of Scripture to some of the most pressing issues of life. Roger Kemp, one of our board members, will guide the conversation.
Well, thank you, Dave, and it's good to just take one day here, Chuck, to hit the pause button on our series. We're in the book of Philippians right now.
Oh, favorite. Yeah, I love Philippians.
Laugh again.
Yeah.
And we just thought we would take one day to acknowledge we're passing a milestone, 40 years. Mm. Amazing to think back to 1979. And I just, at the outset, I would like to put everybody at ease. We're not going to take the next half hour to drag them through, if you will, our nostalgia.
I could see the hands going to the dial. Let's turn this one
Please
off.
Please don't.
Yeah, right.
Now, we're not going to do that. But, a lot has changed in 40 years since we started. And in some respects, Chuck, not much has changed at all.
Mm. Some things just don't change.
Right.
Yeah.
But we know that a lot of our families who listen can kind of measure their years of raising a family in Insight for Living years, almost like those ticks that you put on the wall as your kids grow up.
Yep.
You know, and so we thought it might be a good idea to address some of the questions that have come to us, very common questions that come to us from listeners from different stages of life, and just to hear your response and maybe some pastoral encouragement to people who are listening today.
And by the way, you mentioned 40 years. I just have to say it. It's always fun to, drift back that period of time.
Sure.
And think, first, how old was I 40 years ago? Where were we living? What were the ages of our children?
Right.
And I'm speaking to those that are, well into their 60s probably. And some would say I wasn't even married. I was a teenager or whatever. That's the fun part of it. And then you check on things like the price of bread, the cost of a car, and what a house cost. It's amazing. 40 years. Now, those things really do change.
So let's get started, Chuck. I'm thinking of families today. I'm thinking of the parents who have children in their home. And, we've heard from a lot of moms and dads over the years, but I think all of us would say, I remember when I was growing up, I would never want to today grow up in this culture. It's so much different than the culture that I grew up in as a teenager.
Right.
So what might you say to the mom or dad who's got a teen in their home, and how might you encourage them? And what counsel might you give the parent who's really anxious about the future of their teen?
First of all, I really commend a parent for caring enough to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have said what you said, be a tough time to be starting in the rearing of a family, the danger factor, if nothing else. Remember when we played, had our bikes, and our kids did, and they rode down to the park, and they were gone for half a day and came home for lunch. And
yeah,
it's unheard of today.
Seems so innocent.
Yeah, and it was. And I'm sure there were kidnaps, and there were terrible things that occurred, but it wasn't like it is now. So you've got a teenager in your home. It's so helpful to remember he or she is a teenager. There's a little temporary insanity connected with that you and I went through, Raj, and our teenagers have gone through it, some more intensively than others. I think they still need to know that they're loved. They still need to know they're valued. I've got a simple little acrostic I give people regarding love. When you love someone, L, you listen to them. O, you overlook a lot of the things that you would not overlook if you didn't love them. You'd criticize them for it, so you overlook something. V, you value them as an individual. And E, you express. You don't just keep it in your mind or talk about it with your husband or wife when you're alone. You say it to your teenager. They need to be heard. They've got some things to say. They certainly need some things that need to be overlooked. So let's get rid of all the perfection and the judgmentalism that often accompanies it without changing the standard of who we are as a family.
Mm-hmm. And maybe lighten it up a little bit. A little laughter in the home doesn't hurt.
Oh, man. is there anything better?
Okay, so let's think about that teenager again, but now in context of the people that we hear from quite a bit over 40 years, grandparents. Mm. You know, every teenager seems to have a cell phone in their hip pocket. They're connected to the whole world. And yet, as you say, they're all craving connection.
They are. And, you know, I think it's important that we not think that our age works against us. There's something wonderful about having another older generation who's on our side, mm-hmm. who knows we're there, who's available, usually has a little more time than dad does or mom, and loves to have a hamburger with you or would love to sit down on the porch and talk about this. We have had some relationships with grandchildren that have been very fulfilling. And there's something deeply satisfying in that. Now, I think one of the roles of a grandparent is to help them know what great parents they have. And you didn't misunderstand that. I didn't say perfect. Remember, they came from you. They've got parents who are doing a pretty bang-up job of keeping all the balls in the air and the plate spinning, at the same time paying the bills and feeding the family and caring for them. I think it's nice for kids to know parents also need love. They also need to know how valuable they are and what they mean to you.
Well, let's keep climbing up the generational ladder here, Chuck. We hear from a lot of parents who have adult children, and they're a little confused about when they should step in and say something that maybe they disagree with, and frankly, when they should shut up.
Oh, boy. You're talking about wisdom here that's needed, and there's no script I could give or anyone should give for every family to follow. There are some overall things that can be mentioned that hardly need to be because they make such common sense. Advice that's not asked for is rarely appreciated. Now, in a vulnerable moment, when they do ask for it, it's kind of nice to leave the sermon to the pastor and try not to deliver, you know, 8 chapters out of Deuteronomy when you're going to give an answer. Just a short answer or even a story means a lot. Sometimes a story that has within it some rather honest admission, when I was your age, let me tell you the mistakes I made. And that really does help the younger generation to know that you're real and that you're understanding. You want them to know that they've reached an age where you really do respect a number of things they've accomplished, and you care about where they're moving in their lives, and you're willing to talk about that. Hmm. Not lecture them on it, but talk about it. You're willing to learn what they're afraid of. Letting them be who they are is very important. I think a question that begins with, let me understand, or help me understand, mm-hmm. or tell me again with such and such, and then you go into it, rather than, you know, I've been waiting 3 days to bring up something, right. and they can't wait to get to the door to get out. They're adults. They're not kids.
Right.
One more thing. I find it helpful if you take the time to express specifically what you admire. You know?
Like you're watching.
Yeah. And you care enough to name them. You're really good at this. Or the other day you said this to your mother. And, boy, that made her feel like $1 million, you know. Or that she talked about it that evening when we were sitting together, or the following morning we having coffee. She brought it up. Believe it or not, your words still mean a lot to us. And we're on your team. And we're not worried about you. There are some questions we don't have answers to yet. But, you know, you're just beginning your adult life. And we're here for you. We always will be. I think that's very important.
You're listening to a special edition of Insight for Living. We're celebrating 40 years. 1979 was the year in the United States and 35 years in Canada, Chuck.
Yeah, isn't that great?
And today we're taking this opportunity not to talk about our nostalgia of those 40 years, but to address the very people who've been alongside us all along the way and maybe to answer some of those questions. Chuck, there's an audience that we have that I would like to address now. It's the single parent, the mom or dad who finds themselves either by death or divorce or some other cause alone. And they're heartbreaking letters a lot of times because they have twice the work, half the joy in raising their kids. You have a word of counsel for them?
You know, there's an old Swedish motto that comes to mind. Shared joy is a double joy. Shared sorrow is half a sorrow. But when you're alone, there's no sharing of it. So shared joy is a little bit of a lonely joy, because there's no one to share it with, so there is no sharing of it. And a sorrow is a lonely sorrow. I don't know that there is a more challenging role to fill, and I've thought about this one, than the role of a single parent. I don't care if you got five or six kids or just one or two. You're now going at it alone. And chances are good you've been through a trauma in becoming a single parent. I know a man who had five children, and out of the blue, his wife walked out. Walked out. He wasn't, you know, a brutal husband or a thoughtless dad or a careless provider. He wasn't drinking or using drugs or what. No, he wasn't perfect. Nobody's perfect. But he loved her, and he, through her, had these five, and they're like stair steps, and then, boom, she's gone.
Wow.
For another man. He has confided in me. We've gotten to know each other very well, and he's told me of the times that he, you know, stood over the stove thinking, what do I fix? You know, he's not a chef, but he's got to feed the family now. That's after a big day at work. And trying to make ends meet and all. It's a lonely task. It's easy to have a lot of self-pity. But I'm going to add something here that's going to make me look like I'm just the idealist in this. I'm trying to be a better theologian than just a friend. I believe God sovereignly is at work, even in the single-parent home. I believe God cares as much as ever when you're going at it alone than he did when you were in partnership with your spouse. The man has since then, through a chain of events I'll not get into, found a wonderful lady who has become his wife. And she has become, if you will, the grandmother, kind of grafted in, and it is a beauty to behold.
Sure.
But back when, I'm sure he could have thought in unguarded moments, this is, if not the end, I can see it from here.
Right.
I honestly believe that reframing, which is a ministry our daughter is engaged in, having been through all she's been through, and talk about flourishing. She finds people who look like they've come to the end. It wasn't the end, but they'd come to the end of the beginning as they once knew it. Now they're in a whole new role. And Raj, the great thing about grace, it's never too late to start doing what's right. It's never too late to pull out of the nosedive. It's never too late. And guess what? God's right there.
Let's switch gears just a little bit. There's another segment of our audience that's always encouraging when we hear from our pastors, those who share your profession.
Some of my favorite guys.
You know, in 40 years, as we said at the beginning of this program, much has changed, but very little has changed. What would you say to the person who's slogging it out in a church ministry as a pastor?
Stay at it. And I realize in some cases it's really a tough slide. It's a tough road to hoe. And maybe you should leave and move on to another one. But the grass isn't not only isn't greener, it's not edible often on the other side of that fence. You may think it is, but, you know, there'll be something there that's not going to be right. But I often go back to those lines out of 1st and 2nd Timothy where the apostle writes to his beloved friend and younger partner in ministry. Paul writes to Timothy, you know, take heed to yourself and to your ministry. Every once in a while, it's good to spend a little time doing some self-analysis. Am I really hitting my stride? Am I really giving it my best? Am I just falling into a rut, which is kind of like a grave with the ends kicked out, you know? Or am I cutting a new swath here? When the Lord says, preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. That says there will be both seasons. And I've had both. You've had both. We like the great seasons. We like the spring seasons. Right. We like the blossoming seasons. But there are rainy seasons, and there are barren seasons, and there are heartbreaking seasons and disappointing seasons. But you prove yourself not only to others, but even to yourself by slugging it out through there, staying in there. Mm-hmm. If nobody else will say it, I will say it. We are there for you every time we open the scriptures. I hope you will find in me an encouragement. I hope you will find a reason for you to dig into the scriptures. You don't need to be someone else to be effective. In fact, you need to know who you are, accept who you are, and then be who you are. It's called authenticity, and I don't know of a greater gift we can give our church than the real person that we are.
Today we've been talking a lot about the application of Scripture, but none of that happens on Insight for Living, it hasn't for 40 years, without first the exposition of Scripture.
Yep.
And I know that a continued passion of yours is searching the Scriptures.
Yes.
It's something that you're devoted to, carrying into decades beyond, and into the next 40 years of searching the Scriptures.
Yeah. In fact, I wrote the book with that title. I use the analogy of a meal as I wrote the book because I think much of it can be analogous. You're finding the food to begin with, and then you're preparing the meal, and then you're serving the feast. That's all part of it. Whether you're a teacher of an adult class or a children's class or a pastor or missionary or whatever you're involved in, you're taking the scriptures and you're delivering this body of truth, and you're learning from it as well, which is a very important part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope people gather from listening to Insight for Living things like observation and interpretation and correlation and application, because I go through that regularly. Well, I have learned, Raj, that when you take the scriptures and go through that discipline just time after time, just Sunday after Sunday, just week after week, just regularly do that, people not only learn to love it, they learn to duplicate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's transferable. Searching the scriptures is not written to people who've gone to seminary. It's written to people who love the Bible and want to know what it says. So to pastors who are a part of our listening audience, thank you for the privilege of giving us your time and being willing to hear. And I hope what we do encourages you to do what you do even better.
The searching the scriptures passion that you have is really the underlying agenda for Vision 195.
Yes, it is.
Carrying that into 195 countries of the world because it's a perpetuating force, is it not?
Well, yeah, and it's biblical, if you will. Go into all the world, make disciples of all the nation, and the next key word is teach.
Right.
Teach them to observe. It doesn't mean just teach them manners or teach them what to wear or teach them our culture. That's not it. You're in another culture. Teach them what the scriptures say so that they might be better disciples. In fact, the key verb, if I can get pedantic here, the key verb in the Great Commission is not going. It's not even teaching. It's making disciples. Hmm. Jesus said to his disciples, make disciples.
We're in the month of June, obviously, right now, Chuck, and you're in the middle of the Laugh Again series, and we've noticed every day during this series, you've concluded the program by telling us about a deadline that's coming June 30th.
Yes.
It's a good moment for me to bring that up, but also to rehearse the fact that searching the Scriptures, Vision 195, is the whole reason that we're pointing towards that date. It's not to fulfill our own needs or pay the light bill or keep us in business, if you will. It's to go about the business of making disciples around the world.
Exactly. It may sound a little crass to put it like this, but you don't reach 195 countries without financial assistance.
Got to do it together.
Absolutely. You know, you don't make a trip without putting gasoline in your car or paying the airfare. It costs to go. It costs to carry on a ministry that is committed to reaching this globe, this huge planet that the Lord's heart is wrapped around and ours as well. I know, even without looking at pictures of people who listen and hearing from them, I don't have to have something tangible. I know if an individual listens faithfully, he cares. He cares.
Mm-hmm.
Cares about various things. One of them, he cares that that broadcast is going to be there. He cares that when it is on, it has something to say that feeds his soul. Great, and you have every reason to have that kind of care. What you may not have thought of is for us to do that regularly, faithfully, consistently enough for you to count on it every single day of the week means we must have the generous gifts of those people who care. So I'm talking to you who are regularly benefiting from the Insight for Living ministry. I sometimes think rather creatively, what if there were not Insight for Living? What if there had not been for 40 years and there's either a blank spot on the dial or there is now just music? Nothing wrong with music. Nobody loves music more than I do. But the teaching of the Scriptures would not be there, but there'd be mute, or there'd be just dialogue or news. But you wouldn't hear faithful, regular communication from the open Bible for your life. What would it have been like if you had not had that during all or a part of these 40 years? Now, in light of that, how often have you given to keep that program where it is and to keep it rolling, keep it moving, keep it vital, keep it reaching out to other people just like you? You know what? The truth is, most of you have probably never given. Now, some of you have, and I certainly would not say that first statement without adding this one. Our gratitude is off the chart for you who give regularly. Some of you give monthly, and that's so helpful as we make our plans.
Yes, it is.
To put our budget together. But I want to talk to you who have not given, and I'm talking about any size gift. I'm not talking about, you know, really those that are loaded giving some $500,000 gift. Now, we've never been known to turn one down. I don't know that we've ever gotten a gift that large. And if we were to get it, we'd be on our knees giving God praise. But I give God praise for $5 gifts.
That's right.
For $50 gifts.
Exactly.
$100 gifts. You know how it is. When you get a gift in the mail that you didn't expect, you think, thank the Lord for this. How grateful I am for this. And you also realize when you're in our place that the person deliberately gave that gift for this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you, we take that gift seriously.
Sacred trust.
Oh, I cannot tell you how serious it is to us. There is no frivolity when it comes to handling the money from God's people. This is God's money.
Right.
Some of you give up lunch to send a gift to Insight for Living. Talk about sacrifice. I want you to know also, and I rarely mention this, Cynthia and I give gifts every month to Insight for Living. At the end of our fiscal year, we give a sizable gift because we believe in what this ministry is about. We give to this ministry. I wouldn't ask you to do anything that we aren't doing. It's not for some, you know, later on when we really may need, we need it now. We have no grant. We have no denominational backing. We have no sugar daddy who waits in the wings for us to say, hey, we need an extra $700,000 to make ends meet. We don't have anybody like that. I don't want anybody like that. You become beholden to people like that. We have no government support. I don't want government support because what they support, they control. What I want is the gifts from people who love the Lord Jesus and appreciate the teaching of his word and want to help support it so that they might benefit from it in the years to come, and their children might in the years ahead.
You're listening to Insight for Living with Chuck Swindoll. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, getting in touch with Insight for Living doesn't take a lot of time, and we've made the process quite simple. If you're listening in the United States, you can call us. Our phone number is 1-800-772-8888. Once again, 1-800-772-8888. Or give a donation right now online by visiting insight.org/donate. And if you have our mobile app, it's easy to connect by tapping on the Donate button. The deadline for receiving your gift is on or before midnight, June 30th. But we encourage you to get in touch right away while it's fresh on your mind. Our phone number once more is 1-800-772-8888. Or give online at insight.org. Thank you for your generous support of Insight for Living. Next time, Chuck Swindoll resumes his study called Laugh Again. Discover the hidden secret of a happy life, Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding special broadcast, Chuck reflects on 40 years of broadcast ministry and the sound recording, were copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.